Third sorrowful mystery, the crowning of our Lord with thorns. In this mystery, we consider how those cruel pagan soldiers mocked and physically abused our divine Savior. After having scourged our Lord, the soldiers took Jesus and brought him into the courtyard of their fortress. There, the entire cohort gathered. That is about 400 to 600 soldiers. So imagine it, the innocent Jesus surrounded by 400 to 600 rough men. Now, this cohort was Pilate's personal bodyguard. They defended him against mobs and enemy attacks, and thus they were brutal and heartless. St. John Chrysostom says, "Soldiers are a cruel race and take pleasure in insulting." As the soldiers gathered, they began to hold a mock coronation of our Lord. They had heard the charge against him that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews. And so, by way of insult, they began to adorn Jesus with the royal insignia and salute him by make him a make-believe king. First, the Roman soldiers began stripping Jesus when his garment, which was clotted with blood, was removed. His wounds from the scourging were forcibly reopened. Now, to make him look like a king, they threw a purplish robe across his shoulders, for purple was the imperial color. In ancient times, such a robe served as a coat for the soldiers. The soldiers wore it over their armor. The one they put on our Lord seems to have been a worn-out uniform of one of the Roman soldiers. Cornelius Lapide refers to one ancient writer as saying, "The color purple distinguishes the ruler by making him conspicuous. Moreover, the color purple exhorts good rulers to be ready to shed their blood for the safety of their subjects, just as Christ shed his blood for his subjects, that is, for their souls." Hence, the purple is given by the Pope to bishops and scarlet to the cardinals to admonish them to shed their blood when necessary for the church. Now, in ancient times, soldiers often wore a reddish garment in battle. The reason for this was so that in such attire, they might scarcely notice wounds and bloodshed, and thus would fight more fearlessly. And so, we see our Lord wearing the scarlet robe as he fights for our salvation. And thus, the soldiers begin this in mockery to make Christ a king, by placing this cloak upon him. It was as if they said, "Ha, you said that you are the King of the Jews. Take then this royal robe." They didn't realize that he who was before them was in fact a king, the king of all creatures, and the king of their souls. And then, to complete their mockery, the soldiers gathered branches covered with thorns. And with these branches of thorns, they made a crown, which they placed on our Lord's head. Now, these thorns were from a bush, which has very long and very sharp thorns. Now, the crown was put on our Lord's head, and then forced down by the soldiers, and thus oppressed into his scalp. It was revealed to St. Bridget that the crown came down to the middle of Jesus' forehead. And as St. Bernard says, it pricked all over his most fair head with 1,000 wounds. Imagine having so many thorns piercing your head. We can't even endure a pin prick from a little splinter or needle. And thus, these thorns greatly afflicted our Lord throughout his passion. Our Lord felt every little prick, even light and superficial ones. For you see, that were on his head were very large and sharp, and they were driven deep into his head. Some pierced through the skull, even penetrating into his brain. At every time the crown of thorns was touched, every time our Lord moved his head, a sharp pain ran throughout his entire body. Listen to St. Bridget describing the bitterness of Christ's crowning. The Blessed Virgin told her, "They put a crown of thorns on his head, which pricked the venerable head of my son very much. So much that the blood which flowed filled his eyes and obstructed his ears, and his beard was completely fouled with the blood running down his face." After crowning our Lord with thorns, the soldiers then placed a reed in Jesus' right hand. This reed was to represent Christ's scepter of the Jews. But what the soldiers gave Jesus was a fragile, worthless, and ridiculous thing. And then, to complete their coronation ceremony of our Lord, the soldiers began to bow down and mock Jesus. Imagine our Lord surrounded by the cruel band of soldiers. He is sitting upon a stone as his throne. He is clothed with an old robe, crowned with thorns, and a reed as his scepter. And watch them as they bow down before him. See them spitting and striking our Lord. One by one they approach him and kneel before him. Scoffing him, they say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then those savage and merciless men took the stick from our Lord's hand and struck him upon the head over and over again, driving the thorns even deeper and deeper into his head. Again, they spat foul saliva on him. Our Lady witnessed the soldiers' heartless cruelty and savagery, and her heart must have been rent as she looked upon her son. In fact, the Blessed Mother said to St. Bridget, "So many streams of blood rushed down from the sharp points over his face and filled his hair and eyes and beard. He seemed to be nothing but one mass of blood." She then said, "Nor could he see unless he squeezed out the blood by compressing his eyelids." What agony must Our Lady have suffered in seeing her son in such a pitiable state. Saint Rita, you know, was privileged to receive a small share in the sufferings of our Lord. Our Lord gave her one wound to suffer from the crown of thorns. He gave her one thorn from his crown in her head. And this one wound was so horrible to see that many of her fellow sisters could not bear to look at her. So just imagine how awful it must have been for Our Lady to look upon her son with so many wounds. Now, once the soldiers grew tired of this game, they tore the robe from Christ again, replacing it with his own clothes. And once again, Jesus felt the shearing pain from his wounds of the scourging, which had been healing already. They were reopened once again. And yet, Christ bore all of this with divine meekness and patience. And Christ was thus scourged and crowned with thorns, was brought before Pilate, who then displayed him to the Jews. Our Lord looked so pitiable after the scourging and crowning that Pilate thought for sure the Jews would be satisfied and then would let Jesus go. Pilate had hoped to excite the compassion of the Jews in seeing Christ scourged almost to death. But the Jews, even more enraged, obstinately demanded, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pontius Pilate then delivered Jesus to the Jews to be crucified. And thus he was the judge who sentenced and condemned him to death on the cross. Now, my dear friends, our Lord suffered the crowning with thorns and all the mockery and blasphemy of the soldiers to show us that we must likewise suffer in order to be his followers. Jesus had told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. He wishes us to know as well that his kingdom is different from any earthly kingdom. All we have to do is look at his royal insignia, and we will see the difference. Jesus is king, but he is king who promises his subjects only sufferings, persecutions, and crosses here below. He is a king, but only over those who renounce themselves and are ready to suffer for love of him. He is king, but he is king of afflicted souls who walk in the way of the cross. And thus, it is only fitting that such a king be crowned with thorns, for a good golden crown would ill suit him. And thus, the sharp and thorny crown, far from degrading our divine Savior, is a glory to him. It proves that he is our God and King. For who but God would suffer for the very ones inflicting this pain upon him? But Jesus would spread his empire not by the strength of arms, but by the force of his love. He is the only king who, in order to show his power, uses weakness to conquer the strength, and employs the little to triumph over the great things of this world. The world does not understand the reign of Jesus. He reigns by humility, sweetness, and patience, pardoning all injustice, insults, and persecutions. As St. Augustine says, "Thus did the kingdom, which was not of this world, overcome the proud world, not with fierce fighting, but lowly suffering." And in order to give us the example, our Savior allowed himself to be struck, mocked, and spat upon. And in this way, we see the virtues we too must practice. If we would be his royal subjects and obtain the reward he has prepared for us, we must imitate him. And so let us then, my dear friends, imitate our Lord and King. Imitate him who wears a crown of thorns and a blood-stained cloak, and who holds in his right hand a scepter that is fragile and weak. As we pray this third mystery of the Rosary, meditate with Our Lady on the power and strength that our Lord shows us despite his appearance and the crowning with thorns. Remember, my dear friends, we must suffer in order to be his true subjects. We must put up with the thorns and contradictions and sufferings in this life. And so think of our suffering Savior, crowned with thorns and robed with the kingly purple garment. When you endure any kind of headache or annoyance from others, when your patience is tested, when you're ridiculed or mocked by others, and when someone reproaches you or ridicules you, remember Our Lady and how she bore with the ridicule heaped upon her Son. Follow their example then, and pray that the very people who offend you, pray for them that they may see their wrong. And let us not complain about the little thorns that prick us each day, but rather, by remembering Jesus' crown, may we calmly accept whatever pain and affliction comes our way. And may the holy image of Christ's crowning be a great comfort to us in the time of adversity. The Jews failed to be moved to compassion at the sight of our suffering Savior. But the Sacred Heart of Jesus wants to move us to compassion, and even to be ready to shed our blood and suffer for love of him. And so resolve now to be true followers of our King crowned with thorns.